For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, August the 30th, 1986. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook from the Tulsa area is the teacher of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Father, we approach your word reverently today, Lord. We tremble in your presence, Lord. We fear you. We reverence you. We respect you today, Lord. God, we know without you we're nothing. We can do nothing. We can say nothing. We are nothing without you. But, Lord, through your Spirit, Lord, we're able to accomplish that which you desire, Lord. But, Lord, use us today as an instrument. And, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to our hearts, that you would quicken us by the Holy Ghost, Lord, and you'd give us utterance in the Holy Ghost as you would direct, Lord. And, Father, this morning we ask the Holy Spirit now to illuminate our hearts and minds and give us understanding and knowledge and wisdom from above. Would you stretch forth your hands now and pray towards me that God would give me the word that we need? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray your will, Father, the will of God, the will of God, in the name of Jesus, that your mind will come forth today, Lord, in this teaching. Hallelujah. Your wisdom. Amen. Amen. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. I want us to turn today to Psalm 68. Psalm 68 in the Word of God. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. You know, we should tremble before this Word here. I do. In my heart. And I fear God. I reverence God. I respect God. How about you? In Psalm 68, verse 6. It says, God setteth the solitary or the lonely in families. You and I did not choose the family in the natural that we were born into. We had nothing to say about it. Isn't that right? And we have nothing to say, really, of the spiritual family that God wants to set us in. And I believe we must all be placed and set by God. But many are set in place by man. I mean, no, that's displeasing to God. And it says God sets the solitary in families. And so we all need a family. Now, we can say we're all a family, and that's true. But we all need a natural family, but we need a spiritual family. Amen? Where God puts us, or where God places us. And it says God sets here in the families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And let me tell you, those that do not allow God to place them, they have many chains upon them, and there is rebellion. So, and let me say it this way this morning. We don't have a choice to go, well, we don't have a right to go to the church of our choice. We must allow God to place us in the body of Christ as it pleases Him. Praise the Lord. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the Scripture. Now, you know also that means at times you may have to drive a ways to go and be in the place God wants you to be. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. How many know that sometimes we have to sacrifice? Amen. It says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is a many-membered body. For one by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, and so forth. Now, look in verse 18. But now hath God set... Who's doing the setting? God. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, not as it pleases man, but as it pleases him. Amen? Now, in verse 20, now the Bible said they are the members in yet one body. Verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Now here is not everybody. Now in verse 18, God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. But in verse 28, God sets some in the church. First, apostles, a sent one. Secondarily, the seers or the prophets. And thirdly, the teachers. And after that, the miracles and gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. So we can see by Psalm 68 and 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, that God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we all have to be placed by God in the body of Christ. Now, let's look at some scriptures this morning on the shepherds. Turn with me, first of all, to John chapter 21. Hallelujah. St. John 21. Let's go look at some scriptures here on the leadership of the church. How many believe that God wants leadership? And He wants strong leadership. Now, in verse 15, the Lord is speaking to Peter. And it says here, Jesus asking the question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And then in verse 16, Jesus told him to feed my sheep. See that? And then in verse 17, he tells him to feed his sheep. And I believe the ministries are, number one, to feed the sheep. Amen? They're not to clip the sheep. They're not to hurt the sheep. But they're to feed the sheep. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, turn with me to another scripture, if you will, to Acts 20. Well, let's go to 1 Peter 5 first. 1 Peter 5. Let's go there first. Then we'll go to Acts 20. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, not only does God want to set the leadership in the body, and the leadership must know the people, but the people must know the leadership. There must be a relationship between the two. Isn't that right? I have had people come to me that would not go to their own shepherd, you know, because they don't know the shepherd. We need to know who the real shepherds are that we're associated with in the body of Christ. Amen? In 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Now notice, Jesus had told Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Now, Peter says in verse 1 of chapter 5 of 1 Peter, the elders which are among you, I exhort. So here's Peter speaking to leadership. Here's Peter, an apostle, speaking to elders. Then he said, who am also an elder, speaking of himself. So Peter was an apostle, but he was also a shepherd. Amen? Now notice, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Did you hear that? And also partake of the glory that shall be revealed. So leaders will know the suffering, but they'll also know what? The glory. Verse 2. Feed. Now the word feed means shepherd. Shepherd the flock of God. Now that's a command. That was a command here to leadership. To shepherd or feed who? The flock of God. Amen? That means there's going to be flock under them or in the, they're over in the Lord that they must feed, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for just for money, but of a ready mind. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, know that in leadership, we have to be careful that we don't say anything, that we don't do anything, that we don't manipulate the people to get anything out of them. Did you hear me? I'm going to say that again. I said, as leadership, you cannot say anything. You cannot do anything. You cannot manipulate the people to get something out of them. I mean, no, if you do, God's going to deal with you. And brethren, we've seen enough of manipulation in this hour. We have seen men take the gifts of God and use it the wrong way to rip God's people off. And as I said the other night, none of us want to be ripped off in the natural. And I don't want to be ripped off by anybody. How about you in the natural? Isn't that right? And we surely must not do it as leaders. We must be an example, and we must not use the gift that God and calling of God that He's put in us in order to do that. And yet we see so much of it, you know, throughout the country. But we must be aware of it. And I think each one of us must, that we need discernment when we see those things, and we need to have the wisdom to turn the TV off, the radio off, or whatever. Can you hear me? How many know we can't buy God's people? Amen? But it seems like many are trying to do it. Now, Peter said here to the leaders, he said, we're not in just for filthy lucre. I imagine Brother Golden many times would never went to the mission field, you know, if he was just looking at the dollar sign. Isn't that right, brother? And I know many times ministers would not go on the road if they was looking for the dollar signs. But we're not to look for the dollar signs. We're to look to Jesus. He is our supply. Amen? He's our source, each one of us. And we live by faith and not by sight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So they're not to be in it for filthy lucre. Now, you know, money is not dirty when it comes out of the mint. It's one of the cleanest things there is. But money is dirty the way we use it. Amen? It's the motive behind it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to show you a scripture. Hold your place. Turn to Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah. Last chapter, last verse. Last chapter, last verse. And God said in that verse, chapter 14, last chapter, verse 14, yea, every pot in Jerusalem. How many know there's a natural Jerusalem? And there's a spiritual Jerusalem. And in Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day, God said, there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Well, you say, what's a Canaanite? The word Canaanite means a peddler, a trafficker, and a merchandiser. And God said, there'll be no more Canaanite that will do that. God's seen enough of that stuff, hadn't he? Amen. And so God's going to deal with that. Now turn back to Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Micah 3 and verse 11. It said the heads, this is the leaders. Back in verse 1 it calls them the heads of Jacob. That's Micah 3:11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets therefore divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. So we can see there the heads, the priests, and the prophets were doing everything that for just for money. And God, of course, is against that. Praise the Lord. And we see Laodicea all over the church today. And we see the Balaam spirit. How many know that Balaam went after reward? Do you remember that? Peter talks about it, Revelation and Jude. There was the doctrine of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the way of Balaam. And you know, Balaam made his mistake when the men came, the men of divination, rewards of divination. And it, on the surface, it looked like he wasn't going to receive anything. But in his heart, he wanted exactly what they brought. And Balaam... He made the mistake by receiving those men into his house. And God came to him and said, what are these guys doing here? And then, you know, the Bible said that later that he died in divination. He died as a soothsayer. And so when we open up to that thing, we become one with it. Isn't that right? You become the very thing you open up to. And so I believe, especially in the ministry, we have to be careful that we don't say anything, do anything, to manipulate people or to get something out of somebody else. Hallelujah. We have to be careful, brother. And I think we should continually keep that before us. Let's go back to 1 Peter 5 now. He said in verse 2, chapter 5, Peter, remember, is speaking to the elders. And he's an elder. He's an apostle. Now, he doesn't come in and say, now, move over, boys. I'm running the show. He came in as an elder with the other elders, didn't he? Isn't that right? Now, how many know that we've heard a lot about the shepherding groups, the hyper eldership thing where people can't make a move without going to their elder. Well, how many know that's not a God?
Right.
How many know God said in Revelation to one church that they have the doctrine and the deeds of two churches of Nicolaitans? And that was actually where the ministry controlled the people, dominated the people in such a way the people could not make decisions for themselves. They took the place of the Holy Ghost. Well, how many know God's against that?
Amen.
And God said, I hate it. If God hates it, we must hate it. Amen. Any kind of control is witchcraft. And God hates it, and we must hate it. Praise the Lord. But the elders here, Peter said, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight. thereof, not the constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage or God's inheritance. How many know that that word lords, if you look in the Philip translation, he said they're not to be little tin gods, you see, over God's people. Hallelujah. Well, how many know a man can be a little tin god? And God's against that. Praise the Lord. But he said not to be lords over God's heritage. But what? In samples, our examples to the flock. If a man ceases to be an example, to me he ceases to be an elder, really in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. I believe elders are to be examples before God and the sheep. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Praise God. I believe that there's going to be some shepherds that's going to receive some crowns. But I believe there's going to be some that's going to be disappointed when Jesus comes. Amen? So we can see here that the elders are to feed the flock. Now turn to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20 in the Word of God. Acts 20. Praise the Lord. Acts 20 verse 17. Now Paul is speaking to the leadership of this church at Ephesus. And we said the other day that this church had been bombarded by false apostles, different doctrines. And here in verse 17, he says to this church, 20:17 of Acts, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now notice it didn't say the pastor of the church, did it? Did you ever say that? Now, I know the elders are pastors, they're shepherds. But he said he called the what? Elders of the singular church. Praise the Lord. Well, how many know even among elders, there's always an elder among elders. There's an apostle among apostles. There's a teacher among teachers and evangelist among evangelists. Can you understand what I'm saying? Some that have more growth and development in God. All right. Now, look in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves. Now, here Paul is speaking to these elders. He's speaking to the leaders of this church. Now, let me stop just a minute. And many people say, well, I don't see eldership working. And many places, to be honest, I don't either. And the reason we don't see it many times working, I'll tell you why, because of carnality. But if you get men that walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, it can be such a beautiful thing in God. But the problem is, sometimes we try to start out too big. But you can take two or three men that can love each other in the Lord and walk in the Spirit. It can be such a blessing and a beautiful thing to see that work among the church. And I believe it can work in the Holy Ghost. How about you?
Amen.
But it can't work out of the carnal mind if one wants to be bigger than the other or to be exalted or something. Now look here at this verse now, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves, elders. First of all, you take heed to yourselves. You're responsible for yourself. And then to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost hath made you to be what?
Overseers.
Notice, the Holy Ghost has to make men to be overseers. You can't make yourself to be an overseer. Amen? It's a gift from God. Isn't that right? It's a calling from God. And so the Holy Ghost makes you to be overseers in order to what? Feed or shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, God will take a man. Hallelujah. I know this is by experience, not just by head knowledge. God will take a man and he'll start a work in a certain area. And that work will flourish because of the revelation and the vision God puts in that man. And God will begin to send, to be honest, the women first most of the time. Most of the time the women will come right in first. And then men will begin to come in too. And among the men, God will show the leadership. Who are really elders. Now, you know, you can go to a man and say, thus saith the Holy Ghost, thou art an elder. And it can be a word from the Lord. But that doesn't make that man ready to get up and be an elder. Isn't that right? I mean, no, he's got to submit to seasoned ministry. There's got to be some growing up in God. Hallelujah. Now, the trouble is, many times we see that, and, that person is put up front, and he's not in the place where he should be, and then it causes all kind of problems. Isn't that right? All right, so God will take a man, he'll start a work, God will begin to send the people in, and God will begin to show the leadership, those men that are coming in, men that he desires to also bring forth as an elder in the work. And as that one that God has put in the work, begins to teach the people, and they begin to grow. Then, and those men begin to come forth in God. Then the leader has to back off some and allow those other brethren to come in and begin to share and to begin to give forth. Can you hear me? Amen. Hallelujah. If we're going to really get this thing working, as we should, praise the Lord. But believe me, many men don't want to back off. They don't want to back off. But God wants them to back off. And when he backs off, a lot of times even the church gets out. I've seen the church get upset because they like that routine thing, you know. Hallelujah. But how many know God's a God of diversity? And we need that, don't we, Brother Golden? Hallelujah. Now look here. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. I know this after my departing, Paul tells here this church and these leaders, shall grievous wolves, savage wolves, enter in where? Where they coming, brethren? Among who? The church. Among the flock. Not sparing the flock. They'll have no mercy upon the flock. They'll come right in to devour, to eat up, to destroy, to tear down and rip up the church of God. Verse 30. Also, here to the elders now, to the shepherds, also of your own selves, he said. Paul said it, the apostle. How did Paul know this? He knew it by revelation. Also, he said, men shall what? Arise, speaking what? Perverse things. That's perversion. First of all, they begin to speak perverted things. Two, and two is to, they'll begin to draw or drag, the Greek says, away disciples after them. Well, how many know that's carnal? We're not to seek for man to follow us, but we're to seek that man will follow Jesus. Amen? And notice what it says here in this verse. It says here in verse 30. Drag disciples after. Well, turn to John 15 a minute. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you, church, bear much fruit. Now, in this chapter, he says there's fruit, more fruit, but now much fruit. Come on. 30, 60, 100. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be what? My disciples, God says. And yet back here, in verse 30, they were drawing away disciples after them. We are his disciples. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So, brethren, we have to be careful. Now turn to Jeremiah 23. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be to the pastors, the shepherds, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Now, God said, woe to those that destroy and scatter his sheep. Anybody know of any churches lately that's been scattered and people been hurt? Huh? It's all over the country, isn't it? But God said, woe be to the shepherds that destroy. God hadn't called the shepherds to destroy, but to what? Build up. Bring life. Feed the flock. Isn't that right? Amen. Verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people, you've scattered my flock, you've driven them away. We're not to be sheep drivers, amen, but sheep feeders.
Right.
You've driven them away. You have not visited them. God said, behold, I will visit upon you the evil, God calls it evil, of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. And I believe he's doing it today. Whether I've driven them and will bring them again to their folds. That's the local churches. That's the places where God's going to put us in places. Hallelujah. And they shall be fruitful and increase. Now notice verse 4. And I will set up shepherds. God's going to do it. I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. There it is again. Feed them. And they shall fear no more. Nor be dismayed, neither shall any be what? Be lacking. There'll be no lack. God said, when I bring my people into their folds, when I set up the shepherds, they'll feed the people. There'll be no more fear. They'll not be dismayed, neither shall there be anything lacking. Now turn to Titus just a minute. Turn to Titus. We're coming back to Jeremiah. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Hallelujah. Titus 1. Look in Titus 1, verse 5. Titus 1, 5. For this cause, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Titus, he said, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest sit in order. God has an order, doesn't he? That you, Titus, should sit in order. Now, Titus knew the qualifications of the shepherds, didn't he? That you would set in order the things that are what? Wanting, or lacking, or left undone here. And what? Ordain or appoint elders in every city as I, Paul, have appointed you, Titus. And then he gives the qualifications here, of course, of the elders. Praise the Lord. And so, until elders are placed over the local fellowships by the Holy Ghost. You hear me? Now, there's a lot of self-style elders and shepherds set up, but they've got to be set up by the Holy Ghost. But until they're set up by the Holy Ghost, there's something not in order, there's something wanting, and there's something lacking. Can you say amen? Now, turn to Acts 24 just a minute. Let's go there before we go back to Jeremiah. Acts 24. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Acts 24. That's wrong. Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 22. Paul had just been stoned. And he was raised up here by the brethren. And in Acts 14, look in verse 21, actually. And when they, that's Paul and Barnabas, they were apostles at this time. How many know they were teachers in Acts 11, prophets in Acts 13, and they're apostles in Acts 14. Now in verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, that word taught many means made many disciples, they returned again to Lystra. Now Lystra's where Paul was stoned. Well, let's just put ourselves in his place. Probably most of us had went the opposite direction. But Paul goes right back to Lystra, where he was stoned. And Iconium and Antioch. Now, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and what? Exhorting them to continue in the faith. That's the faith of Jesus. And that we must, through what? Much tribulation, brethren, enter into the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you something. When God places you in a local work with elders placed over you in the Holy Ghost, men of God, how many know it's going to bring some tribulation? You believe that? I believe it a whole bunch. In fact, that's where you're going to grow up in the Lord. Isn't that right? And develop in God most of your Christian life. Now, next verse. And when they, Paul and Barnabas, had ordained them elders. Where? In every church. In every church. And had prayed with fasting. Notice they did it with prayer and fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So here, the elders were placed over the people by the apostolic ministry. And probably when they went through preaching, many were won to the Lord. And time they came back, some had grown in the Lord. And by the Holy Ghost, and by the direction of the Holy Ghost, by prayer and fasting, they placed elders over the people in the Lord to shepherd and to feed the people. Hallelujah. Now go back to Jeremiah 3. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 3. Now look at verse 14. God tells us in Jeremiah 3:14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. How many know people get hurt in churches and they backslide? Yeah, they do. They get hurt and they turn from the Lord many times, and yet God will bring them back. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you, and I will take one of a city, two of a family. And notice what God said. This is God's order. I will bring you somewhere. Not just to Israel or Jerusalem, but to Zion. Now, we know Israel is important, Jerusalem's important, But God said, I want to bring you to Zion. And notice verse 15. And God said, when I bring you to Zion, then I'm going to give you shepherds. Now look what kind of shepherds they are. According to my heart. Now would Jesus rip you off? Would Jesus hurt you? No, not in the wrong way. Amen? I mean, he may hurt your pride. He may smash your pride and my pride. But you know what I'm saying. But he said, I'm going to give you shepherds according to my heart, which shall what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding. So his true shepherds will be men after his heart. They'll feed the church with knowledge and with understanding. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, now, turn to Isaiah 56. Hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of negative things here now. Isaiah 56. And we know God's against dominion. Whether it be in a woman or a man, God's against dominion. Isaiah 56. And in verse 9. All ye beasts of the field. I mean, of the beasts of the powers of darkness that come in to destroy God's people. Come to devour, yea, all you beasts in the forest. How many know we're trees of righteousness? Well, how many know the beasts like to get in the forest? How many know the devil's got a chainsaw? He'd like to cut you down, isn't that right? And me down. And he's cutting many down. Yeah, if you read the Amplified, the New American in Psalm 74, you'll see he's got a chainsaw. Now, in verse 10, notice his watchmen, this is the ministry, his watchmen are what? Blind. No vision, no perception, no spiritual insight, no revelation. Brother Jack was talking about eyesight last night. And here, these watchmen are blind. Well, how many know if you're blind, you can't share revelation with God's people? Isn't that right? Two, they're all ignorant. That's spiritual darkness. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot speak. There's no trumpet, no sound of the trumpet, no warning here. And he said, they cannot bark, same thing. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're at ease. They're at ease in Zion. In verse 11, yea, they're greedy dogs. Who's God talking to here? The ministry. He's talking to watchmen. And he's actually talking to shepherds. He said, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. If they made 50,000 this year, they want 200,000 maybe next year. And I'm not against people making money. Don't, you know, misunderstand me. Praise the Lord. But he said, they're greedy dogs, which have never have enough. And they are what? Shepherds that cannot what? Understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. So God was talking about the ministry. Now turn to 3 John. Let's look at a scripture when wrong men get in a position of leadership. 3 John. 3 John. In the churches. In 3 John, verse 9. Here's the apostle speaking. And he said, I wrote... How many know that in chapter 1 of John, 1 John, I believe it is. I know it's in 2 John chapter... since 2 John, verse 1, he's the elder speaking to the elect lady. Isn't that right? And one other place... there's one other place he talks about an elder. But in 3 John, there it is, the 3 John verse 1, there it is. The elder to the well-beloved Gaius. Okay, look at verse 9 of 3 John. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes... Now here's a man that was in a place of leadership, who loveth to have something. The preeminence among them receives us not. Now notice this man wanted preeminence. Well, that's position, that's for Christ. And he said he didn't receive us. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive what? The brethren, and forbids them that would, and cast them out of the church. So here's a man in leadership. He wants the preeminence. He will not receive the apostles, the brethren coming through. And he cast them out of the church. How many know some ministries cannot get in some churches? It's not because the people many times doesn't want them. It's the leadership won't let them in. Amen? Well, how many know we can pray? And God can move. Isn't that right? Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy 23 just a minute. Let's look at the saints here a minute. Deuteronomy 23. Now, how many know incest is a big problem today in America? I think Brother Steve mentioned that yesterday. The Ammonites and Moabites came through incest through Lot's daughter. And in verse 2, notice what he said here of chapter 23 of Deuteronomy. A bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter in the congregation of the Lord. Now, for 10 generations, if a generation, we'll say, is 40 years, 10 times 40 is 400 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And God said they could not enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. Here, because of this incest. Now turn to Hebrews 12. I want to show you there's still some bastards in the church. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Hebrews 12. And let's look at verse 8. Hallelujah. I know it's a terrible word. Chapter 12, verse 8. But if you, church, be without what? Chastisement, correction, rebuke, reproof, whatever. Whereof all are partakers, then are you what? Bastards and not sons. And let me tell you, there are many who do not want a local work. They do not want to be placed in a local fellowship where they have to grow up to be a son. Amen? And God's word teaches us if they do not want that, then they are bastards. They will not be sons. And I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll run all the country around and around and around and around. And never like many of them. Amen? Now turn to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. And look at verse 11 and 12. God said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Who's going to send the famine? God. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's the famine. Now, next verse. Those that are in a famine, and they shall do what? Wonder. What's that? Running. From sea to sea. From church to church. From evangelist to evangelist. From convention to convention. And there's nothing wrong with those things in the Lord at times. Amen. From the north to the east, from Canada to Florida, they'll run to and fro to seek what? The word of the Lord. And they'll not find it. Why? Because they won't hear. Again, they don't want to grow up to be a son. Amen. They want to remain a bastard. And God said they'll reap a famine. Hallelujah. Now, God said, the rebellious dwell where? In a dry land. And if we don't want to be placed by God, wherever God wants to put us, and I can't tell you where that's at, God can only tell you that, then we're going to remain in a dry land. Amen? As Brother Miller said this morning, it may be a fellowship may start in a home by just a few. Or you may have to drive up here to a certain, you know, ways. Isn't that right? But you've got to know one thing. You've got to know that God is placing you and putting you wherever you are. How many today can raise your hand and say, I know, wait a minute, I know that I'm in the local work where God has put me by the Holy Ghost. Can you do that? Praise the Lord. A lot of you can't. But God will show you if you'll seek His face. Amen? How many believe that? Amen. All right, now let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Turn to the Old Testament. Turn to Exodus 18. You know, some people think they don't need a local work. But how many know we need a local work? In Exodus 18, 21. But I'll tell you, brother, I thank God for this place right here. You know, there's not many places you can go to get what you get right here in Lake Hamilton. Amen. I believe the rounded gospel comes into this place right here. And I thank God for Lake Hamilton. How many pray for Lake Hamilton? Amen. In Exodus 18, 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people. Now, here's God speaking to Moses. And God said, you provide out of all the people, number one, able men. Men that are able, capable. And I believe God speaks to leadership concerning leadership, don't you? And here's God speaking to man, Moses, the man in, that God had put in charge. And God said, I want you to choose able men too. Men that what? Fear God, reverence God. And three, they're men of truth. And four, such as fear God and men of truth, hating covetousness. Did you hear that? Leadership that hates covetousness. Hallelujah. I want to show you a scripture. Just a minute. Hold your place. Turn to Proverbs 15. Going back to what was on a while ago a little bit. Proverbs 15, 27. This can apply to anybody. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Did you know that covetousness can cause you to die early? Greed and lust can cause you to die at an early age. And God said, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. That can be this house as well as your own household. But he that hateth what? Bribes or gifts shall live. Let's all quote that last part. But he that hateth gifts shall live. Let's do it again. But he that hateth gifts shall live. But the word gifts in my margin is bribes. I think that's a better word. Now back here in Exodus, God said to Moses, when you choose those men over my people, you make sure that they're able men, they fear God, they're men of truth, and they hate covetousness, and place them as rulers over the people, over the hundreds and fifties and tens and thousands. Now, how many know that Moses was wearing himself out? And his father-in-law saw this. And he said, Moses, you're not going to be around too long, boy, if you don't straighten up. And so Moses began to choose able men. Come to him with the different cases. But the hard cases, of course, they would bring before Moses. Now turn to 2 Samuel. I want to give you another scripture here on leadership here. 2 Samuel that we should look at. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel. 23. Is it 23? Yeah. Now, we're going to see the last words of David here before he passes on. I guess we could all think what we'd say before we'd die. No telling what we'd say, but I'm sure I'd be praying a little bit. How about you? And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me and his word was in my tongue. There's the Spirit and the word. There's the balance. Verse 3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men. He that ruleth over men must be, number one, just. There's got to be some justice. Isn't that right? And two, he must rule in the fear of God. He must rule in the reverential fear of God. I mean, if we truly had the fear of God, there's a lot of things we wouldn't say or do at all. Amen. Verse 4. And God said, he shall be, this is rulership now, he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. Even a morning, it's the dawning of a new day, without clouds, no darkness, you see. As the tender grass springs out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. He said, that's the way it'll be when you have rulers that will truly rule. That will be just and that will rule in the fear of God. Hallelujah. And I believe God has those kind of men and women, don't you? In the earth. Praise the Lord. You believe that? Amen. Now, turn to Zechariah 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And verse 15. Is that right? No, it's 11:15. Excuse me. Zechariah 11:15. Hallelujah. How many know that the word that caused Saul to be king in the Old Testament also rejected him as being king? Isn't that right? The same word that put him in as king rejected him as being king. And God chose another. Now here in Zechariah 11:15, and the Lord said to me, Zechariah said, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. What kind of shepherd? A foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that which stands still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Now listen to verse 17. God said, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. The arm speaks of authority. It speaks of strength. You can't have a hand without an arm, can you? Huh? And God said, the sword, what's the sword? It's the word. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. The right, again, is vision, perception, insight, discernment, revelation. And God said it'll be also upon his right eye. And his arm shall be clean dried up. The ministry's going to dry up. The authority he had will dry up. And the vision, the revelation also will, because he said, and his right eye shall be utterly what? Darkened. No more revelation. How many know there are men walking today that's had revelation from God that have fallen from the spiritual realm back in the carnal natural realm? Many stars have fallen and are falling today. You can hear it in their talk, because their ministry is geared just for money, just to get things out of people by all kind of carnal ways. Isn't that right? Amen. It's a Balaam spirit, and God hates it. And we must hate it, brother. We must stand against it. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm talking about carnal ways now. I'm talking about wrong motives. I'm talking about manipulation. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Turn to Ezekiel 34. First, Brother Steve. Steve here. Steve, would you stand and tell them what you told me this morning before we come in to the land about witchcraft? You know, you shared something there this morning about, we're talking about briberies or something, you know. Okay. Turn to Ezekiel 34. So we all have to be on guard. We have to discern and know what spirit is ministering to us. Ezekiel 13. How many know we all have blind spots? And that's why we need our brethren. Because sometimes I can't see correctly. I may be saying or doing something. I need somebody to come and say, hey, I want to help you here. I want to tell you something you're doing. Sometimes my wife points a few of those things out to kind of help a little too. Ezekiel 34. How many know God gave us a helpmeet? Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, how would you like to be in Ezekiel? Speaking to the shepherds. Now, you know, Ezekiel spoke to the prophets. Now he's speaking to the shepherds, isn't he? And he said, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, and prophesy to them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Yes, they should. They should feed themselves too, but they must feed the flock. You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now listen to what God said in verse 4. Here's what Jesus came to do in Luke 4:18. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken. How many old people are hurting today in the church? Huh? Yes, homes are breaking up. You know, people are hurting mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. That's why I believe people should come to Lake Hamilton. Hallelujah. He said, you haven't brought that again which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. Jesus left the 99 and went after the lost one, didn't he? Put him on his shoulder. Hallelujah. His government's going to be on his shoulder. Isn't that right? And we know the shoulder's part of the body. And I believe his real government's going to come to the church, don't you? But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And that is no place in the body of Christ, with force and cruelty. Now, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all what? The beasts of the field, that's the powers of darkness, when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. And as I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, and because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. God's going to bring an end to some, but he's going to raise up new ones. You believe that? Now, turn to Jeremiah 25. I think this is the right scripture I've got to give you. It's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about judgment. in Jeremiah 25? Yes, this is it. How many believe Jesus is coming with a shout? That's a victory shout. And it's a victory shout after the battle has been won. In Jeremiah 25, let's start with verse 30. And I want to read through 36. Therefore prophesy thou against all these words, and say to them, the Lord shall roar from on high. How many know the New Testament says that? He'll roar out of Zion. And utter his voice from his holy habitation. That's his people. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against the inhabitants of the earth. Now verse 31. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy or a disagreement with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He's doing that today, isn't he, brethren? Do you believe that? He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go from nation to nation. A great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Did you hear it?
Yes.
Destruction's coming upon the wicked. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Now look at verse 34. Howl, you shepherds, or wail, you shepherds, and cry, wallow yourselves in the ashes, you principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and you shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled or ruined their pasture.
Yes.
Judgment's going to come to the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to take you to another scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 15. I don't think we can take leadership lightly in any way. There's such a responsibility to all of us, that whether we be shepherds or sheep. Now, look in chapter 15 of Acts. I want to show you a close relationship between the elders and the apostolic ministry. Look in chapter 15 of Acts. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation among them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and who? Now where was this at? It was in the church in Jerusalem about this question. The question was verse 1. Some said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. They were bringing this thing back into the church. And so they come up to Jerusalem to deal with that particular thing. Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles and caused great joy. Verse 4 now. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. Now, isn't that strange? Most churches don't have apostles in them. Isn't that right? But right here, this church had apostles and what?
Elders.
And they, notice, they were received by apostles and elders. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. How many know that's a miracle? Amen? I'll show you a great way in just a minute. Verse 22. How many know it's hard to get two apostles together? Paul and Barnabas, they had some contention, didn't they? Paul rebuked Peter to his face one time. You know, it seems an apostle and prophet can travel better than two apostles. They're kind of hard-headed, I guess. In Acts 15:22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. Boy, that is a miracle, isn't it? To send chosen men of their own company to Antioch and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now, verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting to the brethren, which was at Antioch and so forth. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 25. Here's what blesses me. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord,
yes,
to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Hallelujah. Turn back to Acts 4 and I may close here. I got so much I could give you. I'll give you two scriptures, but I want to give you a scripture here. I want to show you what will bring unity in chapter 2, rather, of Acts. Unity, brethren. It's like the precious ointment that ran down upon Aaron's beard, down upon his garments. Isn't that right? That unity. How many know the beard speaks of maturity? Now in Acts 2, look in verse 40 2. Time was here, but I want to share it again. Acts 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's the teaching, and fellowship, breaking of bread, that's not only the Lord's Supper, but eating together, and prayed together, of course. Verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. That's the fear of God, the reverential fear of God. Now, notice the first thing that happened when the fear of God came into the church, the supernatural also. What was it? Signs and wonders. Isn't that right? Done by the apostles. The fear of God will bring the supernatural. Do you believe that? The reverential fear of God will bring the supernatural. You see this in Acts 2. You see it in Acts 5. Now, God told the people in Joshua, he said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. And I believe the closer we get to God, and the more we're delivered, and the more of God's holiness comes into us, I believe the more we're going to really see the supernatural of God. Don't you? In the church. And then in chapter 4, now hear me, in chapter 4, the church made intercession. They prayed that God would give them boldness, that they could preach the word of God with boldness, and that signs and wonders will be done. Now, that they were praying that, interceding and praying in chapter 4, and in chapter 5 it says, by the hands of the apostles, signs and wonders were wrought. So through intercession, the supernatural comes. Now, right here, because of the fear of God, immediately signs and wonders begin to come into this early church. In verse 44, look at this now. They that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted to every man, as every man, of course, had need. Now look at verse 46. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now that's unity, isn't it?
Yes.
One accordness. The fear of God will bring unity. Amen? And of course they broke bread. Now look at verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And here it is. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So number one, it'll bring a restoration of the respect of God's people back where the sinners will see it. The sinners will see that respectability when you have the fear of God in you. It'll bring the supernatural. It'll bring unity. And God will add to the church. Otherwise, church growth will come. You don't have to have somebody teaching church growth seminars. The Holy Ghost will bring the people in. Amen? And God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise the Lord. Now turn to Matthew 20. I want to close with this. And again, I want to show you that God's against dominion, wherever it comes from. In Matthew 20. Look at verse 25. Two had asked Jesus, you know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? You know, can we sit on your left hand, your right hand? And he had an answer for him. Of course, the other apostles got upset with him. And verse 25, Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now look at this. But it shall not be among you. Jesus is against dominion. He's against BTO. Big time operators. Amen? But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Your servant, your minister, acts as minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Hallelujah.
And brethren, to be in leadership, there is a great responsibility today.
Yes,
it always has been. Hallelujah. But I believe that God will want to place us in our respective churches by the Holy Ghost. And I believe we have a right to come before God and say, God, you show me where you want me. It may be with a, you know, a small little group. It may be a, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 or maybe 200, I don't know. But you need to be where God places you. Hallelujah. And remember this, every joint must. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that your body has many members? But only your members can do what your head tells it to do. Isn't that right? How many know he's the head tonight, today? And we are the members of the body, and the body must do what the head says.
Oh,
amen? Hallelujah. If you go down to the grocery store, you don't have to go ask your elders. You can go to the grocery store.
That's right.
You need to know God sent him to the grocery store.
Right.
Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Praise God. But God's against dominion. God's against that spirit. But he wants us to walk in love and to do our part. Let's stand. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want you to reach your hands today out towards Brother Miller. Of course, this be Sister Miller, too. They have a great responsibility here. God has placed them here in charge of this place. And let's ask God to touch them today and to give them wisdom. Father, today in the name of Jesus, we bless our brother and our sister. We bless this campground, Lord. And we believe your hand is upon them and upon this place. And we ask, Father, that provision shall be made. Lord, the need shall be made. Met, Lord, here in this place. Here, God, give them favor with you and with men. And give them energy and give them strength to do the will of God. We pray for them, Father, for their spiritual welfare, their mental welfare, their physical welfare, their financial welfare. That the Holy Spirit will move in a dynamic, supernatural, glorious way for them today, Lord. And God, I thank you and I praise you for them, Lord. And I ask the Holy Spirit to reach out to them in the name of Jesus and encourage them today. Lift them up today. Oh, Father, bring great encouragement to both of them today. Meet their needs, oh God, and meet the needs of the campground. God, give them great wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, give them discernment to know the will and the plan and the purpose of God. And Lord, show them things by the Holy Ghost. Reveal yourself to them. Love them, Lord, and minister to them, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah. We thank you for our brethren, Lord. We thank you for this campground, God. We thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, there are some in the service today that probably you feel that God's hand is upon you for leadership. And I want you to come and just line up, and I just want to pray over you today. Some of you, if God's hand's upon you and you feel that, just come and line up here, some of you. Now, I'm talking about real leadership in the church now, not just you know, you feel God's calling you to ministry, to minister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll just go through and just touch each one of you. Bill, stand behind him as we go. And reach your hands out towards him. Where's Steve at? Steve, would you come up and help us, Steve? Praise the Lord. Just stand here by me, Steve, and help me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's go to you as the Lord leads. We won't just go right down the road probably here. Praise the Lord, Steve.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Lord, now you know your gifts and callings. I don't, but God knows, and you know. And so we'll just agree with you and pray over you. Let's just pray that the ministers will come forth from these people that God's put in them. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, touch this young man. We ask the mighty power of God to reach into his heart. Lord God, to bring forth that ministry that's within him. Lord Jesus, minister to him by the power of God. Lord, draw him up in the Lord. Father, we pray for the Spirit of God to reveal and unveil that precious ministry that's within him. And show him by the Holy Ghost. And God, make a way for him where it seems like there's no way. Make a way in the body for this ministry, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Touch our sister, Lord. Touch the minister within her, Lord. We pray for the gift you put in her, Lord, to come forth. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen. Touch our sister today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Minister to her, God. Let the power of God go into her. Touch our dear sister here today, Lord. That ministry within her, Lord, let it come forth. Lord, let it illuminate and spread forth to others. Oh, let it grow and mature. In the Lord, we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you for her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch this sister, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Minister through her, Lord, we pray. Touch this sister, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Cause that ministry to come forth in her, Lord. Stir the gift of God up in her, Lord. Touch this man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let the gift of God stir him up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Use him, Lord. Touch this man, Father, for your glory. Use him, Father. Anoint him. Touch his hands in a special way, God, we pray. Touch our sister, Lord, by the mighty hand of God, anoint her and use her in the ministry, Lord. Touch our dear sister here, Lord. Lord, use her to teach and to minister, Lord, to those people in Jesus' name. Touch our dear sister, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Use her, anoint her, we pray, in Jesus' name. Touch Sister Cook, Lord. We pray the Holy Ghost would use her. God, use that deliverance ministry through this sister. Anoint her, God, by the Holy Ghost. Touch our brother, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask that the gift and calling of God would move through him. Touch Nina, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Anoint and use her, Father, for the glory of God. Touch our dear sister today, Lord. We pray the power of God to flow into her. We thank you for this precious vessel. And God, the gift you put in her in Jesus' name. Lisa, over here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Touch our brother, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Use him, Father God. We ask the Holy Spirit to minister in him and through him, God, anoint this man. God, let the gift of God, the gift of God, loose him and use him, Father, for your glory. Amen. Touch our brother here today, Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anoint him, God. Give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding, God. Impart, Lord, that ministry to him. Touch brother and sister Golden, Lord. Lord, yes, amen. Touch him, Lord. Father, yes, oh yes. Minister to him. Let the gifts of God go into him. And through, oh, hallelujah. Let the power of God go into him, Lord. Use him, Lord. Preach, oh God. Quicken, oh God. Anoint, oh God. By the Holy Ghost we pray. Amen. Touch our sister, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Dear God, bless her. And use her for the kingdom, we pray. Amen. Amen. Touch our sister, Father. In the name of Jesus, anoint her, God. God, in the name of Jesus, that ministry within her, let it come forth. God in heaven, we agree and believe that that ministry shall be used for your kingdom and your glory. And bless her and use her, Lord, for your sake. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the Lord. Still early, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just praise the Lord a little bit. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. My hand is upon thee, and my love is within thee. Yea, the Lord shall help you. And the Lord shall cause the blessings of the Lord to fall upon thee. For I've seen your heart, and I've seen a tender spirit, and I've seen an obedient heart towards me, saith the Lord. So ye know that the Lord has heard your cry, and he's seen the tear, and now the Lord shall move for thee, and thou shalt be blessed, and thou shalt know that it's not man, but it's thy God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him. Come on, let's praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, amen. Thou shalt also sing for the Lord. Yea, thou shalt lift thy voice to the Lord like a trumpet. And thou shalt sing before him. And thou shalt worship his name. For the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And I put that gift and that talent within thee. So hide it not under a bushel. But yea, let it come forth. And yea, the Lord shall bless you. And the Lord shall bless others. And that anointing that shall come through thee shall reach out and heal others when you minister to him. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord's hand is upon thee. And know that thou shalt speak the word of the Lord, for I put it within your heart, within your breast. And I, the Lord thy God, would say, also lift up your voice and speak unto man that which I've given thee. Be not fearful nor afraid of what God has said, for surely the anointing of the Lord is within thee and upon thee. And yea, that anointing all, yea, has come upon thee. So my daughter, prophesy and proclaim and speak that which I've given you, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou dost reach out to thy God, and thy God reaches out to you. For surely the Lord has a word for thee, and the Lord has a work for thee. And know that it shall be accomplished through worship. And I, the Lord thy God, will receive glory and honor, for surely the Lord's hand is upon thee, my son. And know that that anointing within you shall quicken, and you'll know that ministry that's within you, and it shall come forth in due season, and you'll grow up into it, and you'll develop into it, and know that thou shalt be a blessing, and you shall know also that the Lord has called you, and that the Lord will send you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise our God. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The hand of the Lord is upon thee, my daughter. And know that the Lord loveth thee with a great love. And know that the Lord thy God seeth not as man seeth. For man will look outwardly, but I've looked upon your heart, and I've seen a broken heart, and I've seen a spirit that's after me, a heart that's after me. And know that thy God shall reward thee openly, and that thy God shall not forget thee. For in this hour, as you raise your voice and as you pray to thy God, God shall hear your petition, and God shall hear your prayers, and the Lord shall let you know that he careth for thee. For surely he shall bring you to Zion, and yea, he shall cause you to understand. For I put wisdom within you, I put knowledge within you, and I, the Lord, shall be glorified, and others shall recognize that thou art the handmaiden of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise our God. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. Jesus, Jesus, we love you. Handarabo Sidaba Handarabo Kotarabahaya. Hiraba Handaraba Sidaba Handarabo Koya. My son, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And know that my love is within you. And know that there has been a breaking and there has been a tearing. But I, the Lord God, shall heal. And I, the Lord God, shall deliver thee. For the hand of the Lord is upon you. And yea, thou art, shall be as Elisha. For surely your eyes shall be opened. And thou shalt behold the enemy. And thou shalt not only behold the enemy, but thou shalt behold the goodness of God. And thou shalt know that the Lord's on your side. And there are more for you than are against you, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, as we wait just a minute before the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you have a prophetic word you'd like to just release right now. Just wait quietly before the Lord. If God gives you a word, just speak it out. To edify the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to speak it out. Praise the Lord. Praise God in Jesus' name. Lord, let that anointing come upon your people to minister right now, to be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. You don't get this opportunity everywhere. Hallelujah. Come on. Let God use you. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we say the hand of the Lord has been upon this place.
Yes.
That thine ears have been unstopped and your eyes have been opened to things that I were having to see and to hear, saith the Lord. So continue to be receptive to my word and to my servants as they bring forth further words and insight into my word, saith the Lord.
Yes.
And continue to keep your eyes open and dwell in my presence, and I will bring you higher, saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just wait on God now. Hallelujah. Obey God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. Yes.
And in knowledge and in wisdom and in understanding, yea, and in the working forth of wisdom and knowledge and understanding to those about you, because you are being trained that you might walk this earth.
Amen.
In the days that are ahead, in the tribulation that's coming upon the earth.
Yes.
When those there will be those upon the earth who will be in despair and utter desolation,
mm-hmm.
and they shall reach to thee. Yea, they shall come bound at your feet to take hold of your feet.
Oh, Lord.
And they shall say, teach us, help us, strengthen us, heal us, lest we die. For they shall not have this knowledge stored up in them. They shall not have gathered in places where they are fed,
yes.
by the shepherds of my heart, and the shepherds of my leading, and the shepherds of my teaching. And know ye not that ye shall go to the nation? Yea, ye shall witness before those that have even at one time been great upon this earth, and they shall acknowledge that God is in you, and they shall acknowledge that there is a God of heaven, and that he does live, and yea, ye are prepared, will be preparing the earth for my glorious reign, and yea, ye will be my strength and my light to the people and to the nation in those days, saith the Lord, when the earth is cleansed and purified and made ready for the King of kings and Lord of lords. Thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else, obey the Holy Ghost. May God use you today. Somebody needs to hear what the Spirit's saying.
And the Spirit was Lord, it shall bring light and glory to thee in the hour that thou dost need it.
Yes.
It shall be a strength there to feed upon in the hour that thou dost do my work upon the earth.
Amen. Hallelujah. Someone else, quickly. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be. Somebody else. Praise God. Okay, what else? You'll sing another song.
Even before we got here today, the Lord laid upon our heart to sing, "Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar?" Come on, Sister Cook. From the piano. Hallelujah. And even this has been going through my spirit all morning, even before Tommy got up to minister. "Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Will you be one so with me that I can do just as I will? Will you be light, life, and love, my word fulfilled?" And that's what it's all about this morning. The double portion ministry flowing from me to you out to others. As we leave this camp meeting, don't keep it contained within you, but let it flow to others that they too can be come alive into the kingdom of God. And song goes like this, G.
"Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Will you be one soul with me that I can do just as I will? Will you be life, love, my word fulfilled? Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Will you be one soul with me that I can do to them? Will you be life, love, my word fulfilled?" And here's the answer. "Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Yes, I'll be broken like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be one soul with you that I can do just as I will. Yes, I'll be life and love my words fulfilled. Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed
Father, we thank you for your presence that is in this place, your anointing that rests here, and over the ministry and over the word that comes forth. Lord, as the word comes forth, help us each one to take it and hide it in our hearts. We may walk therein, may be a light to our path. We thank you for the light that you're giving us and for the path that you're opening before us, and that we can walk therein, that we can be an examples before men. Somehow, Lord, that we'll be that which you would have us to be and which you've called us to be. We thank you for it. Now, Father, we bless the food that's prepared for us. We thank you for making health and strength to us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing and anointing over those who are working in the kitchen and laboring there, Lord. We may have food to eat. And we bless them, Lord. We thank you for strengthening them and renewing them. And may the word of the Lord come forth to them there in the kitchen as they labor also, Lord. We bless them and we thank you for it. Amen.